Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narchries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, DBT-CBT and Play Therapy Toolbox for Children and Adolescents by Amanda Crowder, is positioned as a practical mental health workbook for use with young people who are experiencing emotional and behavioral difficulties, especially anxiety and depression. Publicly available information about the title is limited, so its content should be understood through its stated format and therapeutic orientation, rather than through verified chapter-level claims. The book presents itself as a toolbox, meaning its central purpose is application rather than theoretical debate. It brings together three familiar child and adolescent treatment traditions: cognitive behavioral therapy for thoughts, feelings, and behavior patterns, dialectical behavior therapy for emotion regulation and coping skills, and play therapy for developmentally appropriate expression. Its value lies in translating these approaches into worksheets and structured activities that can be used by therapists, counselors, educators, caregivers, or other helping adults when supporting children and adolescents in concrete skill building. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, combining CBT, DBT, and play therapy into one applied resource. The most distinctive feature suggested by the book is its integration of three therapeutic approaches that are often taught and practiced separately. CBT usually focuses on identifying unhelpful thought patterns, connecting thoughts to emotions and behaviors, and testing more balanced ways of thinking. DBT emphasizes skills such as distress tolerance, emotion regulation, mindfulness, and interpersonal effectiveness. Play therapy recognizes that younger clients often communicate through action, metaphor, drawing, movement, games, and imagination, rather than through adult-style discussion. A combined toolbox can be useful because children and adolescents rarely present with neatly separated needs. A child with anxiety may need cognitive reframing, calming strategies, and a playful way to express fear. A teenager with depressive symptoms may benefit from behavior activation, emotion naming, and structured reflection. The practical logic of the book is therefore not to replace clinical judgment with worksheets, but to offer adaptable methods that can match developmental level, attention span, and emotional readiness. Secondly, worksheet-based skill building for anxiety and depressive symptoms. The subtitle emphasizes more than 200 worksheets and activities, which places the book in the hands-on category of therapeutic support materials. This matters because anxiety and depressive symptoms in children and adolescents often require repeated practice rather than one-time insight. Worksheets can help externalize vague experiences into visible patterns: what happened, what the child thought, what the body felt, what action followed, and what alternative response might be tried. Activities can also reduce the pressure of direct verbal disclosure, particularly for younger children or adolescents who are reluctant to describe distress. In CBT-informed work, written and visual exercises may support thought tracking, worry identification, behavioral planning, and coping rehearsal. In DBT-informed work, worksheets may help young people notice emotional escalation and select a coping skill before behavior becomes impulsive or avoidant. The strength of this format is structure. Its limitation is that worksheets are most effective when guided by a responsive adult who can adapt the task to the child, rather than treating completion as proof of progress. Thirdly, developmental fit across childhood and adolescence. A resource designed for both children and adolescents has to address a wide developmental range. So, younger children may not have the abstract reasoning needed for complex cognitive restructuring, but they can identify feelings through colors, faces, stories, toys, body maps, or simple choice-based activities. Adolescents can usually engage in more reflective work, including examining assumptions, identifying triggers, tracking mood patterns, and evaluating the consequences of coping strategies. The inclusion of play therapy principles is important because it gives the book a route for adapting evidence-informed ideas to younger users. The inclusion of DBT and CBT principles is equally important for older youth who may need more explicit skills and language for managing distress. The practical challenge for any such toolbox is avoiding a one-size-fits-all model. A useful activity for an 8-year-old may feel childish to a 16-year-old, while a reflective worksheet for a teenager may be too abstract for a child. The book stands in a category where flexibility is essential. Fourthly, emotion regulation as a bridge between internal distress and outward behavior. DBT-oriented tools are especially relevant in work with young people because emotional distress often appears as behavior before it is articulated as a feeling. A child may refuse school, argue, withdraw, cry, freeze, or become aggressive without being able to explain the underlying emotional sequence. Adolescents may mask distress through avoidance, irritability, isolation, or impulsive choices. A toolbox that includes DBT concepts can help translate emotional experience into observable steps, recognizing cues, naming emotions, rating intensity, pausing before action, and choosing a coping response. This framework is useful for anxiety and depression because both conditions can narrow a young person's sense of available choices. Anxiety pushes toward avoidance, while depression can reduce motivation and make withdrawal feel inevitable. Emotion regulation activities aim to create a small space between feeling and reaction. The book's practical orientation is important here. More mild, rather than presenting emotion regulation as a lecture, activities and worksheets can make the skill concrete, repeatable, and easier for caregivers or professionals to reinforce over time. Lastly, usefulness and boundaries for therapists, counselors, educators, and caregivers. A toolbox of worksheets and activities can serve several audiences, but each audience should use it differently. Licensed therapists may use such a resource to supplement treatment planning, introduce skills, assign practice between sessions, or vary session structure. School counselors and educators may find value in brief, structured activities that support emotional literacy and coping within appropriate professional boundaries. Caregivers may use selected exercises to open conversation, normalize feelings, or practice calming routines at home. However, the format should not be mistaken for a full diagnostic or treatment system. Anxiety and depressive symptoms can range from mild distress to serious clinical concerns. And some young people need individualized assessment, safety planning, family work, or specialized care. The book's value is strongest when used as a flexible activity bank rather than as a standalone cure. Its practical benefit comes from making therapeutic language accessible. But responsible use requires attention to age, culture, severity, context, and the relationship between the adult and the young person. In conclusion, this book is most appropriate for readers who need practical, ready-to-use therapeutic materials for children and adolescents rather than an academic introduction to mental health theory. Therapists, school counselors, social workers, child-focused educators, and caregivers may find it useful when they want structured exercises for anxiety, depressive symptoms, emotional overwhelm, and coping skill development. Its intellectual benefit is in showing how CBT, DBT, and play-based methods can complement one another. CBT gives a framework for the relationship between thoughts, feelings, and actions. DBT adds skills for tolerating distress and regulating emotion. Play therapy makes these ideas more accessible to children whose emotional communication may be nonverbal, symbolic, or activity-based. Compared with single-modality workbooks, its distinguishing feature is breadth. It appears designed as a multi-approach toolbox with a large number of worksheets and activities. Compared with theory-heavy clinical texts, it is likely more immediately usable in sessions, classrooms, or guided home practice. Its main limitation is also its strength. Practical tools require thoughtful selection and adaptation. Readers should not treat the book as a replacement for clinical training or individualized care, but as a structured resource that can support developmentally sensitive conversations and repeated coping practice. If you would like to support Amanda Crowder, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.